What is up, everybody? You're tuning into the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a little bit of a different route in the beginning of the show. We're going to talk about the ethics of betting. So just my life in the game of betting. Betting is so popular right now, you know, specifically sports betting. So we're going to get into, you know, maybe some keys and tips on how to be a successful bettor, how to not be a successful bettor. And just like the optics of the game, I feel like it's so popular nowadays that it does change the way on how you watch the game. Having a stake in it, it just feels different. So going to get into that, kind of excited about that segment. And then we're going to talk some MLB. Guardians-Yankees, Game 5 today. Last night's game was postponed. So do or die for the Yanks and Guards who will play the Astros in the ALCS. Meanwhile, we have the Padres and the Phillies NLCS Game 1 kicking off tonight. Should be a good one. Yu Darvish, Zach Wheeler, Nestor Cortez, and Savali for the Yanks Guardians. Shout out Million Dollar Marco flying out his jet. Him and Tony Sharp to the Yankees Guardians finale. Marco has a future on the Guardians, so he knows he's going to be betting hard on Guardians. So go Guardians. Room for them as well. Fuck the Yanks. And then of course, we have our Fichtner Cup review, week 6 analysis, week 7 preview. Going to be a good show. Let's get after it. Riddle Me That is brought to you by PointsBet. If you haven't done so already, download the promo code YoungCS13. That's YoungCS13. If you type in that code, you will get 2 risk-free bets, 1 standard bet, 1 points bet. I've done it. My friends have done it. You don't even have to go to the casino. You can download it right off your phone. It takes 2 seconds. Lots of sports going on right now. So if you're a new user, why not hop aboard? This takes me into a new segment here. The ethics of betting segment. Just came up with it about an hour before the show. I was thinking about how can I differentiate a segment and tying something that we're all into these days. And that's sports betting. And that's not everybody. But at least me and my friends, a lot of good acquaintances, I've noticed are all into sports betting. I mean, and why not? You know, it's all over the place now. It's all over the TV. They're doing a damn good job of sucking all of us in. I've been sports betting for, you know, a couple years now, 2 or 3 years. And, you know, it's one of those things where you have to make sure that you do in mediation. You know, sometimes you fall, you find yourself, you know, like, wow, I've been sitting on the couch all day watching sports, betting on sports, you know, on like a Saturday. And that's good in moderation. You know, some of my favorite things to do is sit on the couch and watch sports. If you find yourself, you know, being too consumed with the betting, you know, that definitely means that maybe it's time to do something new. And, you know, I'm speaking for myself too. I think I'm trying to find a way to make sure that that's not the only thing that, you know, that's conscious on my mind. Because sometimes that's what happens, right? I mean, you get so consumed into something that's all you're thinking about. So I think, you know, this is a good segment if you're struggling with, you know, finding yourself betting, you know, too much. And this segment isn't, you know, a support group by any means, but it can be for you. I think for myself too, I try to find, you know, it's tough to find ways to, you know, make sure that you're differentiating what you're doing, whether that's betting, watching too much, you know, TV, not getting any exercise, you know, things like that. All things that, you know, I myself can work on. Even being a tennis coach, you know, it's definitely, you know, I could be working out more. And I think going into the sports betting segment, I got the, you know, like the, you know, that thing that you put on like before an advertising being like, you know, making sure that, you know, viewer discretion, you know, is advised when, you know, watching a sports betting segment. You know, don't use anything I say against me, you know. But going into the sports betting, it is one of those things that there's so much information out on teams now, you know, and, you know, it's especially with betting being so popular, right? You can research teams you know, past results. And, you know, nowadays it's so easy to do that. There's so many different sites, podcasts, you know, different sports channels with, you know, different post-game analysis on different teams. There's so much, you know, at our house we have NBA League Pass. We have NFL Red Zone. We have the MLB channel. So, like, you know, we get to see too much information. So you think, okay, I know all this information. You know, I know everything there is to know about sports. I'm going to kill the sports betting world. Right? And this is not to sound cocky. I know everything there is to know about most sports. Like, you know, I have a general idea of what's going on, you know, of current rosters, like how teams are playing, how teams are, you know, if they're playing bad, good, yada, yada. I think it's important to realize that, you know, when you're betting, you're going against, you know, Vegas. So they're skewering these lines, you know, to give them the best chance of winning. Now, are there ways to beat them? Absolutely. I think you have to accept, just like anything, if you are going to bet, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose a lot, you know, if you do it a lot. And there are the variables, right? The million-dollar Marcos who, yeah, somehow they win more than they lose, right? They're probably in the high 50s, even to mid-60s percentile. You know, they hit the key bets. And you know what they all, you know, I've seen podcasts on, you know, successful sports gamblers because it's just such a rarity. I think that's what people fail to understand. So it's easy, you know, for someone like myself and my friends who watch it, right? You know, we feel like, okay, you know, I have a general understanding of what's going on. And then you watch the sports and you're like, I don't, you know, because you bet on a team and they look terrible. You're like, wow, I don't know anything. Right? So it's all such like sports betting makes you change the way you think. So like, you have to make sure that you don't let sports betting impair your judgment. And like, you know, a way to know that is, you know, if you're also into fantasy football, which most of us are, I'm a very good fantasy football player, along with most of my friends. Like, we all generally are, you know, win a lot of weeks more than we lose. You know, we're in multiple leagues. But that, you know, that's more also, that's not, I mean, it's betting in a sense, but it's different of taking, like, okay, I'm taking this team to win by 3 points. Like, fantasy football is totally based off, like, player performance, not wins and losses. And, like, you can bet, you know, player props, whatnot, and, you know, during a game. But that's also scary because they'll make sure that, you know, Vegas knows, okay, I'm going to make this guy's line 9.5 because, you know, he said some games where he's, you know, if you're doing like receptions, and, you know, one game Tyreek Hill has 6 receptions, one game he has 14. So, you know, they middle that. So it's just, it is tough. Like for me, like right now I've been so, you know, like, I feel like I haven't been reading the board properly, and I feel like, you know, I am, you know, so cold in betting right now, you know, and thankfully, you know, that gets into my next, you know, segment on this is I've definitely lowered my units over the years. I feel like unit placement is very important. I feel like easily get carried away with what I was betting. So I definitely lowered that. So it makes it, you know, if I have a stake in the game, I don't want it to, you know, ruin my week because I put too much money down, which in this day and era is so easy to do because, you know, sites are offering promo codes. You just see people around you are putting more money down. So you don't really know if that person just does really well betting and they're able to place a lot, or they're actually just like betting, you know, what would be irresponsible, I guess, is if you're betting what you don't have. And that's something that I think is easy to get carried away with, especially when you get to a point in your life where you have money from your job, where you didn't in college, you know, for instance. So it's just, you know, I've realized definitely if I'm going to be into sports betting that you have to somehow find a balance with that in your life and not let it, you know, it should be entertainment on the side. It shouldn't dictate, you know, oh, like my Saturday sucked because all my bets lost, which is easy to do because if you're like into it with all these sports going on, you'd rather be, you know, going out to a bar, winning a few bets opposed to losing all your bets. It's just what happens. So
just a little segment for me, and I guess what the daily life of a 26-year-old male in Chicago could be, but all good, all good. Love doing this segment. Hope everyone that is listening realizes that sports is a wonderful thing, but I think for myself, as much as I love it to death, it's not the do or die end of the world thing to look forward to. So I want to talk a little baseball. MLB playoffs in full effect right now. Phillies taking out the defending champ Braves, kicking their ass. Lost one game in that series, but dominated every other game. The only reason they lost was on a couple of questionable sloppy singles by the Braves. But the Phillies took care of business. They're playing the San Diego Padres, who took out the LA Dodgers last weekend. Dodgers, 111-win season, go down. Just didn't seem like they had it. You know, they've dominated the Padres all season, 18-5 against the Padres. And the Padres said, you know what? We got Juan Soto. Back the fuck up. Josh Hader coming in, being the Josh Hader that we know. Padres looking like geniuses, going out and getting Soto, Bell, Josh Hader. Trent Grisham's been amazing this postseason. And you know what? There's just something about having nothing to lose. I mean, the Dodgers had everything to lose. You know, winning that many games, there's so much more pressure. You'd almost rather not win that many games, right? But then have, you know, it's almost like you'd rather be okay, go out and get a superstar, and then just be middle of the road, and then, you know, that superstar's playing with house money, right? Because everyone's doubting them. Everyone thinks the Dodgers are going to win. So it's unbelievable how that works. But it is what it is. Padres against the Phillies, no one saw this coming. Two teams that have struggled to make the postseason consistently over the years, especially the Phillies. Padres have been there, you know, as of late, but you know, over this last decade, it's been dominated by the Dodgers, Braves, Mets, Nationals even. So it's good to see some new faces. Like what I see out of the Phillies. You know, kind of a juggernaut team, an insane lineup. You have Nick Castellanos batting like fifth. You know, JT Realmuto, superstar catcher. Alec Baum doesn't get out. Schwarber, always a threat when he comes on. Harper, like, he's just come back out of nowhere, all good to go. I mean, that lineup is stacked. Don't forget about my boy Gene Segura at the bottom. Pitching, Nola, Zach Wheeler. It's a dynamite duo right there. You know, Ranger Suarez coming in when he has to. So, really can't go wrong with the Phillies. Padres, though, I mean that lineup is also stacked. You know, doesn't sound as stacked. You know, you got Trent Grisham or Kim. One of those guys will bat first. Juan Soto. Cronenworth's in there somewhere. Josh Bell. Brandon Drury. It's kind of more under, you know, Will Myers, throw him in there. So kind of just a bunch of slop put together, but they play hard, man. That lineup is good. Austin Nola, good catcher. Pitching. You know, already said Hader in their bullpen. You know, Martinez comes out of the pen. Kind of underrated pitching staff. Blake Snell. He's turning back the clock. You know, he was not good this season. Clevinger, who sucks against the Dodgers. You know, he got rocked again this year in the playoffs. But, you know, he's been solid. You know, they traded away, I forget his name, you know, one of their younger rookies. Earlier this year, I forget. I'll think back on it. So they gave away some that was a trade for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. So they definitely gave away some pitching, but they're like, hey, we're just gonna get through these games, you know, any way we can. We like our bullpen, and they love their offense. So, you know, works out for the Padres, you know, at the end of the day. But I, you know, strictly because of my boy Luke Liebert, I'm taking the Phillies to win the series. I think You know, and, you know, another good pitcher for, you know, their ace, Yu Darvish. You know, that's for the Padres. You know, but I like the Phils. I see them, you know, just staying hot, you know, being that road team. I mean, along with the Padres, but, you know, the Phillies just seem to not really, it does not really matter where they're at. You know, they start off the postseason being down 2-0, top nine, one out to the Cardinals. Came back, won that game, haven't looked back since. I like the Phils. I think it's going to be a great series, though. I think it's a very, you know, evenly matched NLCS. You know, it was either going to be Dodgers-Braves or this, and this is what we had. No real in-between there. So I like the Phillies to come out for my boy Lebo, Philadelphia fan. Having a great time right now. Eagles, Phillies, Sixers are starting. They're supposed to be good, so good time to be a Philly fan. Yankees, Guardians also today. A game where, you know, I think as a White Sox fan, it's funny. You're rooting for the Guardians because fuck the Yankees. You know, Guardians are actually a fun team. It just turns out that they're in our division. Right, but the Sox were so bad anyway, it doesn't matter. But the Guardians have a great team, great manager in Terry Francona, Rich Homie Kwan, Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, Rosario. Great, great offense. Oscar Gonzalez, Josh Naylor. Team is super underrated. They got swagger in all different forms, honestly. But I love the Guardians. Yankees, of course, you know, they're stacked. But, you know, fuck the Yankees. You know, Million Dollar Marco flying out to New York for this game in his own jet. Big future on the Yanks. Or on the Guardians, sorry. Guardians, $30,000 on that. So, Million Dollar Marco, I mean, you can't go against that, right? I'm taking the Guardians to win. I think they're going to win this game. I really do. I think the Guardians just, you know, they've been playing with house money all season, especially these playoffs. You know, couldn't get it done last game. Harrison Bader, huge home run for the Yankees. Shout out Matt Ike hitting that plus 1,100. Harrison Bader home run in our faces, in our house. That's how you do it, Ike. That's how you do it. But, you know, everyone's like, you know, you can't root for, it's not, you know, they got Nasty Nestor going against Savali, you know, so they definitely have the pitching advantage. But Guardians just got to swipe across one or two runs here, I think. Or maybe, you know, I mean, Savali's been good recently. So, you know, they're going to have to squeeze a couple across. I think they can do it. Let's go Guardians. I want them to play. Houston Astros, who sweep the Mariners, you know, coming back pretty much every game, you know, the third game going into like the 17th inning, it was 0-0. So every game was sweat in that series. Astros look good. They look like they're ready to win it all. Going to be a tough whoever comes out of this Yankees Guardian series, that's for sure. Mattress Mac, $10 million on the Astros, win $75 million. I mean, that's absurd. I think like the largest sports bet ever, I think. So he's going all in. Kind of got to love that. So if the Astros win, that's really cool for Mattress there. So, but that'd be my only reason rooting for the Astros, because fuck the Astros. You know, I'd rather see a Guardians Phillies final. Oh, it's gross, but that's what I want. Cleveland Guardians, Philadelphia Phillies. It is now time for my favorite segment on the Riddle Me That podcast, the Fichtner Cup League of Champions. It's like, it's the best thing to be able to do this each week. Even having a rebuttal podcast, right, in Big Tick Review, knowing that he's going to be coming day in and day out, throwing shade everywhere he can. Right? But that's the best part, right? Because he has to wait for my podcast. Right? He has to wait for RMT. It spices up the league, having multiple points of view on different player performances. Different biases, right? The league has turned into a bias. Each week there's a new bias. There's a temp bias. There's a cough daddy bias, now known as the bum. So the bum bias. I love a little bum temp bias, right? Back and forth. Temp, bum, right? And then a little Big Sam, right? A little Big Sam bias. Not much of Big Sam this year. Then you got your Tata bias. Right, let me some tatas. Definitely a barely legal bias. A little Yuengling, Su Koon Saloon, Poon Koon Soon.
Chris Kloss, you know, he's always working out, right? He's always got a bias, you know, one weight there, one weight there. A little chit-chat with Vinny Gods on the tread. Definitely a Vince Gaudio treadmill bias. No doubt about that. But getting into our matchups here, another mediocre week performance-wise. But it's just setting up for mid-season, right? We got three teams at 3-3, three teams at 2-4, one at 4-2, two at 5-1, one at 1-5. This is why the thick league never dies. No one's out of it. Just when you think you're dead, you eat 50 dogs and you find a new tent. Right, that's the moral of the story. That's the moral of this league. Right? Do you think you're dead one day and then you're alive? Right? You think you see the light and then it's just dark. Some people see more light than darkness. I went through a stretch of 5 years not making the playoffs. Dark. Dogs, dark. Dark dogs. Let's take it into the week 6 matchups here. Before we get into the power rankings. I do this podcast for the people. I do it because I love them. They, in return, give me some love. And that's what it's all about. So we're going to run it down right now. Week 6 matchups. Commissioner taking on the Flaccid Bums. Huge win for the commissioner here, 109.5 to 87.72. Huge week here. Someone like the commissioner getting a lot of flack these last couple weeks. I myself put him 9th in the rankings last week. I thought that was harsh. The commish brings a lot to this league. He's the commish. But that just means that we have to hate him. But this week he got it done. This week he got it done against a Bums team that was starting to find, his rhythm, his place, and now moving to 2-4. The commissioner moving to 3-3. He had good omens this week, right? He hung out for Goff's birthday, George Kittle jersey, a lot going on the West Coast. Commissioner getting it done. Bums needing to figure it out fast, right? Can't be 2-4 is one thing. 2-5 is a whole nother thing. So huge matchup next week for the Bums needing to find an answer. Big Sam taking on the Tatas. Never really a matchup here, right? Kuhn starting Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, both combining for one. Tatas having a down week for a typical 2022-2023 Ethan Holman roster, only scoring 102, but not really needing to get anything done. I mean, he did what he had to do. It was a grinded out week, a lot of low scores in week 6. Breece Hall doing his dance, Jalen Hurts doing enough, Pittman having a good game, and 20 points for Mr. Pitt. 13 receptions, 134 yards. So good week for the Tatas, moving to 5-1, still on top of this league. Moving into a huge matchup next week with RMT. Get your tickets now. Going to be sold out. Going to be a huge, huge gathering in Revenge Tour World. Yungulin. The Yungulin Poon Chasers. Getting the clap from Mr. Minneapolis Mike Caputo's. 137.36 to 69. Never close in this matchup. Josh Allen. Doing his thing. 330 yards, 3 tutties. Kamara Barkley dancing. Bailout Gabe. Gabe Davis, 14. Godwin looking good, 12. Mark Andrews, 20. Stevenson, 23. This is by far the best team that you could have. This might be the best, if you were doing like the actual DraftKings, you'd be cashing checks with this roster. So Caputo's making another statement. Top of the league in points again. Moving to 4-2, I really don't see a weak spot in this team right now. Doing his dance all over the racers. Poon Chasers 2-4 now, 3 losses in a row. Tough, tough, tough for the Chasers. Gonna need to figure it out fast. Still has a chance playing the Tents next week, who are also now 2-4, but moving in the positive direction. The Tents going into Vegas, getting a 99-93 victory over Big Ticket. It came down to McManus Monday night, but ultimately McManus coming up a couple field goals short. And the Tents, just like I said last week, needing to get a W, 1-4, cannot be 1-5. Moving right back in to the bubble here at 2-4. That's the great thing about fantasy football, right? You're 2-4, you're 3-3. All it takes is 1 week where one of those 3-3 teams moves to 3-4, and that 2-4 team moves to 3-4. We've seen weirder things happen, right, from being 1-4. Holman does it year in, year out, where he's, you know, you count Holman out, all of a sudden gets a couple wins, gets a couple tiebreakers, right back in it. So the Tens, huge win for him moving into week 7. Which takes me to the week 7 power rankings. We're going to start from the top this week. You know, we kind of rotate it. We know that Rebuttal will probably do the opposite because I go, you know, if I start from 1 to 10, he'll go from 10 to 1. If I go 10 to 1, he'll go 1 to 10. So, but we're going to go from the top here because we think the bottom is more interesting this week. So at number 1, we have the Tatas. Ethan Holman, still on top of this league from the preseason rankings at 1. He is still number 1 this week. Going into week 7 here, you know, another solid performance against Big Sam, doing what he had to do. Always have to prepare for who's, you know, who's in front of you. So Holman did what he had to do, keeping his number 1 ranking. At number 2, we have RMT, also at 5-1. Huge matchup next week with the Tatas. Going to decide. You know, there is, you know, is some discrepancy because Holman is missing some of his key players. I will acknowledge that. But that doesn't mean, you know, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be ready for him next week. You have to play what's on your schedule. And there's some weeks that you're going to have bye week discrepancies and some weeks you're not. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, I want to play Holman at full strength as well. But it's just like anything. Sometimes when you just have, you know, you're good role players. They provide a spark. So we take every week just the same as the last week. So not thinking about who's on the, you know, who's not playing, who's playing. We just play with what's in front of us going into a huge matchup. It's going to be fun. At number 3, we have Nick Fornato, Mike Caputo's. You know, definitely could be deserving of the number 2 spot. But you got to go with the rankings here. If the season were to end today, RMT would be the number 2 team based on the record, even if he's below Caputo's in the points 4 by a little bit. But Nato at 3 at 4-2, going to be a tough out in this year's playoffs. He's definitely, you know, championship worthy. I've kept him in that top. You know, he had a couple losses early on, but he's been hot lately. Nato definitely deserving of the number 3 spot. At number 4, we have Matthew Kleinhans. I'm still high on Kleinhans' team, the Barely Legals. Had to move him down from 1 spot last week. But after losing to RMT and Caputo's getting the dub, had to rotate it from Klein from 3 to 4. Which at number 5, even after coming off a tough loss last week to the Tents, have to keep Pastuovic at 3, at 5, Big Ticket at 3-3. He'd be in the, you know, he'd be the 5 seed right now if the playoffs were today. I still like his team. I think the Tens were playing with some inspiration last week going into Vegas, but I don't think one loss defines your team. Ticket still having a good season. Losing the last couple weeks, scuffling a little bit, but after a couple of losses, I look for Big Ticket to bounce back next week, which takes me to, you know, which is going to be the most controversial move up in this week's power rankings. At number 6. We have the commish, Luke Boyd, coming back from the number 9 seed last week. I think, you know, the public won't like it, as I said, but the commissioner at 3-3 would be in the playoffs right now. Got to give respect where respect is due. Had a huge do-or-die game against the Bums. Commissioner got it done, moving him to number 6 in week 7 rankings. And number 7... this is where the Bums bias comes in. I'm putting Coff at 7. This was the toughest matchup here for me because here you have Coff at 2-4, the Tents at 2-4, Yungling at 2-4. I had Lebo at 7 last week after coming off two losses. Lost again this week. I had the Tents at 8 last week, who came off a win against number 5, Pastuovic. But with Pastuovic being, you know, 3-2 and the Tents being 1-4, I can't have too much move up after one win. I have to play the same way. If you win, I can't, you know, I can't define you off one win. But Coughlin has the tiebreaker over the Tents and also has more points for, so Coff would be one spot above the Tents. Which is why Coff is going to be at 7, the Tents at 8. But let me give a shout-out to the Tents here. As you can tell, I have big Tents bias this, you know, last few weeks, and I'm keeping that going. You know, huge win for the Tents, keeping them in contention in that number 8 spot. You know, I think putting the Tents here and actually having Lebo at number 9, Yungelin at 9, is respect for the Tents. Getting a win next week will even put him more in contention for that last, for that midseason push. And so just shout out to Nasser here, eating those dogs, getting those Tents in order. I like what I've seen out of you the last couple weeks, which moves me to Lebo at 9. I did not want to, you know, did not see this coming, did not want this day to happen. It's been a tough go for Lebo as of late, 3 losses in a row, moving him to 2-4. I think he's definitely not a number 9 team in the league by any means. But you have to go sometimes, you know, by tendencies. And right now, based off what I've seen, you know, Liam's Tent, more points for over Yungling. It was a tough spot for me. I really didn't know what to do on this one. But with 3 losses, Nasser did get a win last week. He's won his last 2 out of 3. Trending in a little bit better direction than Yungling. Which, you know, it's still early. It's week 7 now. A lot of time to go. These rankings won't mean anything by playoffs. But this is where I stand right now, which leaves me to Big Sam at 10. No surprise here. I'm 1-5 in this league. Will Big Sam get another win this season? Over under live is 2.5, I think, right now. Will Big Sam get over 2.5 wins this season? Even money on DraftKings right now for the under, minus 120 to get over. Which leaves us, you know, so I've set up these power rankings. I'm very interested to see what the rebuttals rankings will be. I feel like I did an accurate job, but you know what? There's always going to be another opinion. I saw that, you know, I like, you know, Nato or Nasser sent his predictions or, you know, his rankings the other day. With Nato being 2 and RMT at 3, you know, so, you know, everyone's going to have their tendencies. So I respect that. These are not, you know, just because I had these rankings doesn't mean they're correct. They're just what I thought in this time. But this is going into, you know, we have some, I set these rankings up knowing what the matchups were next week. So let's get into our week 7 matchups here. Starting with a low-key huge matchup here. Yungling, Sukun Saloon, Poon Chasers, taking on Liam's Tent, giving Lebo the chance right here to get his spot back. This feels like a play-in game to me. This feels like a playoff game. Both teams 2-4, 8-9 in the rankings. Need a win here. A win here can project you to places that you didn't think you could go before. Huge matchup. I gotta take Yungling here. You know, coming off 3 losses in a row, the Tents projected 114 to 102 right now. I'm not sure, you know, if the Chasers have more to move on their roster, but I think Yungling has good value here. Coming off 3 losses, Yungling knows how to, you know, get back to the basics. I think Yungling comes out with, you know, fire and passion. And, you know, the Tents haven't shown me that they've can win consistently yet this season. So in that matter, I'm taking the Chasers. I think they get a big win on the road here. Big Sam taking out Minneapolis Mike Caputos here. Taking the chalk here in the Caputos. I see them, you know, playing out, you know, out of this world ball right now. Big Sam hasn't seemed to figure out. So it could be a trap game here, right? The public's definitely going to be on the Caputos. We'll see where all the money lands by tip-off. But taking the Caputos in this one, don't think it'll be close. The Barely Legals taking on the Commissioner. Another gross, great matchup here. Both 3-3. Both projected right now 90-78. I assume there's a lot of moves, you know, yet to be made. But we love this matchup here. Whoever wins this, definitely going to get some respect in the power rankings. The Commissioner is 6 right now, with Kleinhans being 4. So definitely a lot of implications here. I'm taking the Legals here, though. You know, they've shown to me that they've bounced back this season. Coming off a tough loss last week to RMT, I think the Legals get it done. But don't count the Commissioner out. The Commissioner's, you know, no one's counting on the Commissioner right now. He believes in himself, though. He's going to be a hard team come playoffs to kick out. Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun taking on the Bums. Another intriguing matchup here. Kind of a small rivalry now. Vegas Sun's coming off 2 losses in a row. Bums coming off a loss. 3-3, taking on 2-4. The 5-7 teams in the power rankings. So if the Bums win, they'll both be 3-4. Another lot of implication in the power rankings. The power rankings might be going crazy in the next couple weeks, which I love. A lot of head-to-head matchups coming up with similar records. I love that. I'm taking the Bums, though. You know, the tickets team has been sliding recently. I like where they're at, but the Bums are tough coming off a loss, especially being at home this week. I like the Bums here. I think the Bums get it done. It's going to be close. It's going to be gross. But I think the Bums climb in, get a win that they really need. You know, this is it for the Bums. It's not it, but, you know, mentality-wise, 3-4 is able, you know, way more doable than 2-5. Which leads us into the matchup of the week, the RMT Revenge Tours and the Tiny Tatas. 5-1 and 5-1, despite who's on the field, it's 5-1 and 5-1. Huge matchup here. I'm taking RMT, as I should. You know, I'm never going to bet against RMT here. Could be a trap game, you know, on the road, going up against a shorthanded squad in the Tatas, but a team that knows how to win. You know, a team that you can never take lightly, can never count Holman out. So I'm not even going to look at his lineup, right? I'm not even going to look at it. I don't care who's out there. He's going to try to get in my head, but we're going to try to block it out. We're going to try to block it out. Every matchup is a matchup. You got to treat it the same way each time. But RMT gets it done. We're going into Tataville with a mission. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Big weekend ahead of us. A lot of sports, baseball playoffs, NBA's back. Lots to be happy about. So strap it down. Enjoy it with your friends, family. Do what you gotta do. Stay warm. I love you all. Riddle Daddy's out.